Welcome to Tea Talks with the Duchess and Sarah. I'm Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York.
And I'm the other Sarah, Sarah Thompson. This is a podcast where you'll find us chatting about our lives, your lives, giggling and talking about all that surrounds us.
So, please, let's take a moment, have a listen, and we'll get the kettle on.
Yay, we're in the room.
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Thank you for my great shoes.
Oh.
We started this entire podcast with this idea of your extraordinary shoes.
We did.
You've got your Sydney Opera House
and
on
I have
today.
Got them on again just for our, what is the last show of our season.
Oh.
So I thought it was very apt. But,
and it's good that we've done it in person.
We've done it in person.
Yeah.
We've both got our shoes on.
For any listener who's thinking that we just say things and we don't do them, Sarah walked in today from Spain with the most extraordinary shoes. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Well, they look lovely on you. We need to go out now. We just go out in our heels.
Yeah. How was your trip?
Back? Well, I was very lucky because there's been obviously strikes, which I think I think there were about 75% of flights didn't go yesterday. We had no delay, so we're very lucky, which is very funny because today we're talking about luck.
We are, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. So what do you think luck is?
Well, so luck, well, to me, I think we've said this quite often, but luck to me is kind of you make your own luck. And I was thinking about it and I was thinking, do you know what? If I had to make luck an equation, I would say opportunity plus belief equals luck. Because opportunities come your way. And if you really believe in something, like you're not going to win the lottery if you don't believe you're going to win it. You won't even buy a ticket. So you've got to have the opportunity to go and buy a ticket. You've got to believe you can win it. And then that could equal luck. But if you look in business, you know, opportunities come your way. You want to set something up, but you've got to believe it. You've got to have balls, you know. So I do really believe, I think my dad's told me ever since I was young, you make your own luck in life. So, yeah, that's my little equation on luck.
Okay, so I like the sound of Winston Churchill, who said that he had the whole nation wishing, and the lion, you know, it was the nation that was the lion, and he was lucky enough to deliver the roar.
Mm.
Don't you love that?
Mm.
It's so cool. Mm. And then I was thinking also of the other one I was thinking of was that, you know that wonderful quote, the early bird catches the worm.
Yep.
Well, that's lucky
that's
for the bird.
True. Yeah.
But very unlucky for the worm.
That's right? Very true. Yeah.
So, of course, it's everything you want it to be.
Yeah.
Isn't
and do you
it?
Know what? It's really interesting because as I was driving here today, I was thinking you can either view anything via luck or unlucky, because had I been really unfortunate or, you know, to have a crash, you could say, wow, that was really unlucky. But then you step out of the car and you're unscathed and you say, wow, how lucky was I? So everything can be viewed via this kind of, you know, glass half full, glass half empty. So luck is a really interesting one because you look at it in different ways, like you say, with the worm.
Yes, and also you said about opportunity, you know, you work hard at it and then it comes your way, or the lottery ticket. Serena Williams says, luck has nothing to do with it because I've spent many, many hours, countless hours on the court working for my one moment in time, not knowing when it could come.
And I believe that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very interesting about this word luck, because we did belief, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I'm more of the belief angle than I am of the luck.
Right, yeah.
I think every moment of the day we could be lucky, or we are lucky. I mean, I am so lucky. I'm lucky to have met you, to have done this, to be doing right now this Tea Talks podcast, loving every moment of it. But also, do you understand something else? Because you insisted on thinking it was a really good idea to do Tea Talks podcast.
Yeah.
No, it was so great. Because actually it's very lucky, because now people are beginning to see exactly what you wanted was to see the real me, the one you see.
Yeah.
That's very lucky. And so many, many people have come up to me and said, oh, we never knew, and you're using this podcast really to get the voice out. So I want to say how great that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, like all things, just like Serena Williams has said, that you keep working, countless hours.
Everyone does need a bit of luck, because you can be unlucky. I mean, you know, in a football match, you know, it could go the wrong way, or in a tennis match like Serena, you could be amazing, but it just hits the wrong side of the line, you know, and that was lucky or that was unlucky or it tipped over the net. So there is an element of luck that comes into everything. But I completely agree with you. When you work really hard at something, you are making your own luck, and sweat and tears come into things. Not that we've had a lot of tears, have we?
No, we haven't. No. I think everyone else has.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just thinking that I had something here for you to ponder over, and I had it already, and I thought that you might like this one.
Yeah.
Do you understand why you can't have 13 people at the table?
No.
In Greek mythology,
right?
Yeah, I think
fit around the table.
There was 12 people in one more seat, and somebody arrived late and then shot the host with a poisoned arrow.
Oh, good grief! Okay, so steer clear of 13.
Yeah, so that's why.
And that is why. Is that why 13 is unlucky
on the table? Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Oh,
and they also wait. Hold on, I had it already, and now because the podcast has started, I can't find it again. So.
Well, while you're finding it, this of course is our 13th pod. So can you believe, is it unlucky or are we going to say it's lucky? Should we just end on lucky? 13 for us is lucky. Actually, what is your lucky number?
13 is one of them.
Is it?
Deliberately.
Why?
to be belligerent.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because everybody says you can't have 13, you mustn't do this. I deliberately like it.
You were born on the 15th.
So I was.
I don't know why you should, but you know, it was a lucky number. You were born that day.
Well, Beatrice was born at 18 minutes past 8 on the 8th of the 8th, 88.
Oh,
and
wow.
In China, she would be very, very seen as just that
very
most
lucky.
Infinite.
Well, she is lucky then.
She is lucky. Yeah. She's totally lucky.
Well, that's funny
lucky.
Actually, because Josh was the 12th of the 12th and Elliot was the 7th of the 7th and Harvey was due to be born on the 8th of the 8th, but...
That's right. We took the bed in the hospital.
But
thanks. Thanks for just stopping him coming out.
Well, mine's 6, but it's really boring because I was born on the 6th. So I've just always thought 6 was lucky.
Do you think you're lucky?
Yeah, of course I'm lucky. I mean, look at my life. I'm lucky. I'm sitting here in front of you. I'm lucky.
Oh, bless you. Well, I'm so lucky. I'm the luckiest girl alive. I always say that.
Yeah.
I really am. Done everything you could possibly. I keep doing it. Don't wait for a bucket list. Do you wait for a bucket list?
No. All these things now where everyone does keep saying, what's on your bucket list? It's like, well, get on with it.
Well, I'm living my luck it list.
Luck it list. I love that.
Okay, here we go. One source mentioned for the unlucky nature of the number 13 is a Norse myth. It's
right.
A Norwegian myth about 12 gods having a dinner party in Valhalla. The trickster god, Loki...
Not Lucky.
Oh, that's where
Couldn't
Lot comes
it.
From, maybe.
Is it?
Yeah, the trickster god Loki was not invited, arrived as the 13th guest, and arranged for Hor to shoot Balder with a mistletoe-tipped arrow. Dossi, Balder died, and the whole earth got dark. The whole earth mourned. It was a bad, unlucky day. This major event in Norse mythology caused the number 13 to be considered unlucky.
Wow.
There you have it. But I have always been fascinated that the superstition seems to relate to various things, like the story of Jesus' Last Supper and crucifixion, in which there were 13 individuals present in the upper room on the 13th of Nisan Maundy Thursday, the night before his death on Good Friday. Mm-hmm. So you see, there are many different ways of looking at Friday the 13th and number 13 and all of these different things. And if we keep on reading, there's so many different ones that you're all going to go, oh, be quiet, so, this is boring, shut
so
up.
So that's like that whole superstition thing. So will you walk under a ladder?
No, goodness no.
No. And is that because it's unlucky or someone might drop paint on you?
Oh, and that's because it would be unlucky because it would be awful if you had a pot of paint on your head.
It wouldn't be good. But why do they say it's lucky if a bird...
poos on your shoulder?
Poos, that's a better word. Mm-hmm. My word wasn't coming out like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why is that lucky?
Because it's the chances of that bird poo hitting your shoulder are pretty extraordinary.
Exactly.
So it must
so
be
I'd
lucky.
Say that was very unlucky because... Most of the time,
we're back
we can
to the worm
along.
Again, are we?
Yeah, we are.
The poor
yeah.
worm.
I mean,
you can have, yes, exactly. May the bluebird of happiness on your birthday cake. That would be...
Yeah.
That could be very lucky that the bluebird flew by and went...
Yeah, it's an optimist that said that, wasn't it? An optimist said, right, if that happens, you're really lucky. And what about the whole concept of not stepping on
the lines? That's the bear coming to eat you.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, big bear, yeah.
Oh.
If you step on the lines on the pavement.
Oh, so do you not?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well... When I was about four, I didn't. I think probably at 63, I've overcome that.
Because the other ones, you have to like work your stride.
Yes, well, I think there's. I think that luck is what you make of it.
Yeah.
And I really am. That's what I stand for. And I work hard to find joy. As you know, any listener knows, we've been through joy and beliefs and all these different ones. But I really believe in luck is what you make of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed.
Sarah, you know what we must do is give the our listeners an update on our health.
Definitely.
How are you?
How are you?
No, I asked you first.
Okay. I want to know about Derek. How am I? I'm good. I'm very good. Thank
are you.
You. Yeah.
Sarah looks so well and brown and bonny and all that because I've been to Scotland.
Right. Bonny. Not that word.
Derek is doing really well.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are you still having, what did you say you were having?
Derek and Eric?
No, when you had that...
Lymphedema. Yeah, I need it. I didn't have it in Scotland last week.
Right.
A bit difficult to have that there.
Right, yeah.
But I've got to now have it lots now.
And that really makes a difference.
A big, huge difference. Yeah. Lymphedema. Anyone going through a mastectomy, please, please, please have lymphedema straight away.
Right, yeah.
It's to stop lymphedema, but lymph drainage massage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it so helps. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
So, yeah, this week, now I'm back, I need to really get on with that.
Yeah.
And Derek and Eric are doing very well, and we're beginning to be more mobile now. It's difficult when you've had this operation because you really can't move very quickly.
No.
And the body is fascinating because if I do too much, it will make me feel sick.
Right. Okay.
And I have to lie down.
It's the body's way of saying that's stop.
Yeah. 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 And it's not because you haven't drunk enough water or you haven't done this.
Yeah.
Your body, it's a different kind of feeling of nausea.
It's incredible, really. Yeah. Mm. Did you do much walking?
I did do some walking thinking, of course, because you now think there's a weight because at 63 you do need to exercise.
Yeah.
And so now I'm in a bit of a, because I do like to eat.
Yeah.
It is one of my favourite chosen subjects for those of you listening. So now Derek and Eric.
Do food one day.
Yeah. Derek and Eric, they're saying.
I love the way Eric gets all of this attention.
I know. He needs attention, poor love. He's feeling very, he's rather down. He's not perky like Derek. But I do think that it's quite interesting that we're sort of taking a break after 12 episodes. This is our 13th episode. That is fascinating, isn't it?
Can you believe we've actually done 13?
I think it's pretty phenomenal.
And the amazing stories, well, not even stories, but your Derek and Eric that have, come along during that period.
I think this podcast has done brilliantly well for... what you wanted to achieve which was to get me to talk.
Yeah.
And you got me to talk.
Yeah.
Which
definitely
is a huge
didn't I?
Achievement. Yes.
Well, and you've helped so many people by talking about your story as well and what you've had to go through.
But many people have called up saying, sent messages saying, we never knew the Duchess was like this until we've heard her now.
Yeah. So I feel like I've succeeded.
You have succeeded.
Thank you.
Yeah, not at all. You have succeeded. You are my CEO of success, you see.
There you go. I'll take that.
It's fine because you're the businesswoman.
Yeah.
And we shall continue.
We absolutely shall. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
I pop back into the boardroom because I've got lots of growing of my cyber business to do. It's getting really exciting.
Well, you need to grow that.
I know.
Especially after the recent disruptions. You must really move on that.
It's a really exciting business.
So you're not going to be bored in your boardroom?
No, I certainly haven't got time to be bored.
Right.
And you'll be still doing your books. But we...
Not still. I'm starting book three.
Oh, book three, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's I'm off to Rajasthan and to Sri Lanka and to Burma, Miramar. And yes, all over the place. Travelling in my mind. Just to...
I thought you were going to say that.
just so that I wanted to... my next book is going to be a really... It's really going to be much more of... I've taken a lot of inspiration in the recent weeks from Sebastian Faulks and William Boyd and all these fascinating, brilliant writers. And I'm going to try and Ken Follett, you know, Geoffrey Archer. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try Erica Jane. And I'm going to try and make this book very rich in its tapestry of travel and excitement and tea.
Yes. So you're going to bring tea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to bring tea, but I wonder if something happens, you know.
With the tea, poisoned
in the tea. In the tea plantation, in the middle of the tea plantation.
Is it exciting what happens?
Oh, well, see, now you want to know.
So, talking of luck, there was an article which said, feel like things never go your way. Science says lucky people do at least three things differently to spot and seize opportunities, which is really interesting. And the three things that they do is, I love this one, start meeting more people. And so they've got some examples here. So Mick Jagger was carrying an armful of records when he stumbled upon Keith Richards carrying a guitar. A friend introduced was to Steve Jobs, otherwise that would never have happened. Sergey Brin met Larry Page during a tour of Stanford campus. And it's really interesting. I was thinking back and thinking, I mean, it's a little bit sliding doors, isn't it? Because for me, it was like, if I'd never met Steve, if he hadn't have applied, well, actually, to be fair, I think he applied to about 300 companies, ended up at the research company I was working at. And if he hadn't, everyone can say this, but, you know, our children wouldn't be here, et cetera, et cetera. But also then because we had a company and we had, you know, a good few hundred people there and they were all quite young. So we had loads of people that met at work and had lots of children. So there's so many, if we had never met, then loads of all these things would never have happened. And it's like that whole kind of things are colliding.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so these stories about meeting people. So anyway, lucky people meet people. You meet a lot of people, don't you?
Do you know that it was extraordinary because there was a man looking very elegant at the check-in desk. This was many, 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 many years ago. And another man went up to him who was in the retail business, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Both are my friends, actually, but this is the story.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes up to him in the check-in line and says, if I may say to you, I think you're very elegant. You are very elegant. You do always travel so elegantly. Says the man from retail. And the man taking the compliment says, yeah, absolutely. I always do this and I really, this is my what I'd love to do one day. So my friend, Lawrence, eventually said, and what's your name? And he said, it's Tommy. And of course, everybody now can guess, it's Tommy Hilfiger. And so what an extraordinary story.
Wow.
That it was just an amazing friendship. And to this day, they are best friends.
Really?
Lawrence and Tommy.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, Lawrence Stroll. Tommy
and they didn't
Hilfig.
Know each other then? Literally a chance meeting?
It was a chance meeting.
Wow.
And I just love that.
Mm.
I think it's so. Mm. I think it's such a beautiful story.
Mm.
You just never know where luck is.
No.
You don't know. And that's why I've always said, I believe that never walk past anyone and on the street or anywhere and not say a smile or say hello or be kind.
Mm.
Because you don't know. I always think God is within everybody, which I believe that mm-hmm. God is within mm-hmm. us as our soul. So why would you ever walk past God if he stood in front of you?
Mm.
Of course, there's no question about it that I was very lucky to be invited to Ascot Week to meet Prince Andrew. And what a lucky moment for me by my best friend, Diana, at the time. And how lucky that the little house, the little seamstress next door to me who made my dress, how lucky was I that the dress didn't fall apart in the middle of Ascot races, which, of course, it could have done.
Wow.
Mm, but it didn't. Just that was lucky,
had you
right?
Eaten too many pies.
No,
it would have.
I did say that at lunch. I said, when the eclairs came round, I looked at Andrew and said, and he said, no, I'm really sorry. It's really rude if you don't accept the eclairs. You have to. And I said, oh, no, thinking, oh, no.
How good is this seamstress?
No. My friend Consuelo made it. No, we knew it was going to be pushing it. And when the eclairs came to him, he said, no, thank you, I don't eat them. So he made me eat them just to be annoying. Yeah, and then he
didn't eat
them. I'm
sure you've gone back since then.
I think maybe a few times. Maybe a few times. But it's all about, I think that's why I said at the beginning of this podcast, I am the luckiest person. I really am the luckiest person alive. You know, I've lived every girl's dream. I've become a princess and I'm there and I'm still there and I still pinch myself and I still can't believe that I've come at 63 to be in this extraordinarily lucky place.
There's two stories I want to ask you because they may be rubbish, but I read them and I thought, I've got to ask you and I've never asked you. One is that Diana had the hots for Prince Andrew and had pictures of him up. Is it rubbish?
What a load of rubbish.
Okay, that's rubbish. Next.
Diana really always got on very well with him, and I say that he's certainly the best-looking prince.
And then the other one was, which I'm sure you're going to tell me is rubbish as well, is that your father asked Diana's mother to marry him.
Rubbish too.
Rubbish.
Although Diana's mother and my mother were at school together and we were all very close, but that's rubbish too.
That's rubbish too. Mm.
Well done.
I don't believe what you read, honestly.
I know. Mm. Goodness. You wouldn't be talking to me if you didn't believe what you read.
That's very true.
It is interesting how people really genuinely do believe that every newspaper
every day. Oh, they really do, don't they?
They really do, yeah.
They don't
yeah.
know people and they're making all these judgments because they believe what they read.
I know, it's really extraordinary.
Yeah, it really is. Sorry, we shot off at a tangent, although I loved it. It's a bit like the two Ronnies. Did you used to watch that where Ronnie Corbett used to sit in his chair
chair.
Off and he'd spend for hours going off on
I know,
the
you
tangent.
Longed to him stop to go yeah, on for it, so...
It's like, God, you actually, by the time he'd stopped, you completely forgot what they were talking about.
And also, you liked all the sketches. You didn't want to get... let me just tell you another story. I remember that. Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, sorry. So, three things. One was... just recapping, because it was so long ago, is that you need to start meeting more people, which you do very well, and we all meet people. The next one is try more things. And then the last one is ask more, which actually is really interesting. You've got to ask people more things. So it doesn't it say to you that inquisitive people are much more likely to be lucky than a shy person?
Yes, because there's more opportunities.
Because the shy person's not going to go and talk to people or ask questions or try more things.
Yeah, no, that's really sad on the poor shy person.
We love shy people.
But maybe the shy person is, in fact, very lucky indeed.
They don't have to talk to anyone.
Because they're really lucky because they can listen and watch and observe. And then the very extrovert person like you and I then go in and make so much noise that the shy person can sit back and just listen to the wonderful
racketeering
gold dust that's sparking into the atmosphere. And so the shy person is the lucky person.
yeah they can saunter home.
Yes. Next.
And laugh at us, yeah.
Next. No, are you have out you of got, your three
yeah,
points?
Yeah, I'm done.
Well, you need to hear about Eric Abbott.
Come on then.
Yeah.
Eric? Is this any relation?
Eric Abbott.
Eric.
No, of my Eric.
Yeah.
No. Heavens, no. Poor Eric. This Eric Abbott. Not, Eric Abbott thought his life was heading in the wrong direction recently until he was booted from his unidentified job. Okay? He really did. He thought, that's it. I'm over, you know, and he was suddenly given the most life-changing news with an email which informed him he had won the huge prize despite losing in the first round. No, I'm going to keep you on tenterhooks.
What did he win?
Yeah, he lost his job after 20 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know what
he won?
This
is all on the same day?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Same day.
What did he win?
Yeah. Ready?
Yeah.
He won.
Mm-hmm. Hit me with it.
£230,000.
Wow.
Lottery.
Wow.
Win on the very same day he was booted out.
Wow.
Eric Abbott. We love that. So, you see, I wonder whether is very lucky.
Well, very lucky, because he probably wouldn't have gone back to work anyway. So at least he didn't have to hand his notice in.
No. And now I wonder what's happened to Eric Abbott now.
Don't people that win the lottery, don't they always have all these stories, which I shouldn't believe, of course.
No, you
really
believed
again.
But
they're all very unhappy. Doesn't make you happy winning the lottery, apparently.
Well,
sorry, Camelot.
I think I'd be quite happy.
Yeah.
I'm not putting it out there. Happy. But Camelot, I'm happy. Oh, my goodness me. We can't say things like that. Oh, it's all right for you. You're a businesswoman. You're like, us girls out here got to work for it. Oh, when asked about how he plans to spend the prize, he revealed he will treat himself with a new car and use the rest to help his family and friends. Nice guy.
Nice person. I take it all back.
This is truly a blessing, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to help alleviate with their financial stress. Oh, you're a very
lovely.
Nice man.
Do you play the lottery?
No.
Well, you're not going to win it then,
No,
are you?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. Well, when I go and buy one of those tickets.
You go in incognito, put a little hat on.
I like that film. You've got to watch it. Oh, my goodness, you'll love it. It could happen to you. 1994, romance comedy with Nicolas Cage in it. It's absolutely extraordinary. Charlie promises to offer his lottery prize to Yvonne, a waitress, in exchange of a tip. Fortunately, he wins the money and decides to fulfil his promise, which disgusts his wife Muriel. Well, I should think Muriel would be furious. Anyway, I love this idea that it's just such a great film, and it just proves to you anything can happen.
Final time this series. Let's go to some of our listeners' questions. So Jane Elliott asks, when are you going to be lucky enough to come back to Australia?
Jane Elliott. I wonder if that's my sister. She's called Jane Ferguson, isn't she?
Yeah. Where's Elliot?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, she might just be pretending. Oh, she's missing you.
She's missing me. Oh, well, I'll tell my skin and blister, my sister, that I love her so much, my sissy. And I am hoping to come back to Australia very soon, Jane Elliott. I'm really looking forward to it because there is so much to do. And I've just today decided that Charlie and Larry Lamppost are going on their adventures with Blue the dog. They're going to the Great Barrier Reef now to go underwater on their adventures. For those listeners who'd like to know, Charlie, Blue and Larry Lamppost is my extraordinary children's book for 3 to 6-year-olds. And it's the story of a little First Nation boy who gets lonely. And so he loves the light of the lamppost. And he says to Larry, his friend, the lamppost, could you take me on journeys? So late at night with his friend Billy Barrow, and Blue the dog sits in Billy Barrow. He's a wheelbarrow. And off they go with Larry on adventures. And the last time we did it was with Perth Observatory. And Pauline was the first First Nation lady that got an MBA. And she told me all about First Nation, how important it was to look at the stars and to study the stars. So Charlie, Larry Lamppost and Blue, they go on their journey to see the Great Bear. And they go all around talking to all the stars at night. And the Perth Observatory gave it a stamp of one of the best books for children to learn about the stars. In fact, we won the Gold Triton Award.
Wow.
Years ago for really putting First Nation and talking about First Nation rules and their culture and their wonderful people. So my next one, I just starting just today, I thought that Charlie and Larry ought to go to the bottom of the ocean. And then at the same time, I was thinking they could also go and see the Northern Lights and talk all about the great, beautiful, fabulous Aureola Borealis.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
That's well said.
Well, thank you.
I'm very impressed.
But I do think that I'm going to use this break now to zoom off to write my big next novel. So Jane Elliott, yes, it was a very long answer to you, Jane Elliott, but I'm coming back to Australia and I'm going to come and see Pauline and ask Pauline to help me with the spiritual advice from the First Nation culture in the next line of Larry Lamppost stories. Join us and shine the light.
Did you just think of that?
Yes.
That's very good.
Thank you. That is my job.
Yeah. Well, you're good. So also, here's another one. So Barbara Merlow asks us both, which is the biggest luck that you've had in your life?
You can start.
Well, Barbara Merlow. I don't know if it's biggest, but definitely I was very, very lucky when I took on our nanny. So having... the boys were little. I had just Josh and Elliot. And we'd gone through so many nannies or coming in for interview. And then in walked Sarah, my current nanny. And she ignored us totally, knelt on the floor and started playing with the boys. And their faces were smiling. And anyway, I just loved her straight away because all she cared about was the children. And fast forward 25 years and she's still with us. And in actual fact, a year after she joined, when we were looking for a PA, she said, I've got a friend who's a PA and her name's Amy and she's been with us 24 years. So how lucky was I that she walked in at that moment? And I think it enabled us to, you know, do all our business things and everything else, you know, with an amazing nanny and a PA who both kind of ran everything. So actually, that was fortuitous, very fortuitous.
That's very good. That's very interesting. Isn't it? Mm. It's appreciation, it's gratitude, it's understanding that the right place, right time, and then seizing the opportunity, everything we've talked about during this entire podcast.
Yeah.
And it's just extraordinary how life is. And it's very similar to how lucky that I was to be where I am. And also to have met you that made me do this podcast.
I love all this adulation. Keep it coming. So anyway, what's yours? What's your, what's a big luck other than meeting me? Or should we stop with that one?
I honestly, if I continue to say how lucky I am, it really would bore everybody because I would go on for hours upon hours upon hours. There is extraordinary moments where even when what this mastectomy has done for me, it, you know, does it take to be in, to have something cut off, a body part cut off, in order for you to wake up? Not because of seeing death, but a waking up to stop worrying. Stop self-hatred, stop self-doubt, stop all these things. Stop not liking yourself. Really, please, honestly. Sarah, shut up, you know. But really, does it take that? And honestly, I can't. I think it was so lucky.
Do you feel like it did take that?
I felt, yes, it did, in my case. And when I look back, I was okay. I got good legs and, you know, looked good and didn't like myself. And that was because I think... You know, it was, I was always compared to Diana, and I think that at the end I sort of believed my own press, which was, you know, not too good, right? So that's interesting, I think. So yeah. I'm very lucky that my sister sent me to have the mammogram and they found it in time. I'm very, very lucky. So in answer to your question, the greatest luck of my life has been to have a wonderful sister. Mm. So back to Jane Elliott again, but wonderful sister that... coerced me to go for a mammogram because I think that is something that has saved my life. Mm. So that's my
life. It's so interesting, isn't it? Because it's not only saved your life, but it's given you a different perspective and made you like yourself.
Yes.
Which is
and
incredible.
Yet you are, you've got an enormous scar, but you like yourself. Mm. You like yourself a lot. Mm. You've got a badge of office. You've got, you just are what you are. Mm. And it's the last thing, which was, of course, the last thing that the Queen said to me. Just be yourself, Sarah.
Be yourself.
And she saw it. She just got so annoyed when I wasn't being myself. Mm. And that's probably when I got into more pickles. Mm. But now I am myself. Mm. And I'm just so lucky to be able to be myself. Mm. It's so hard. Mm. What a journey.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, amazing.
Yes. I actually wrote something today, and I thought it was just the way I wrote it. It was just, it just made me giggle to myself when I wrote it, which is kind of extraordinary, really, to make yourself giggle by something you've written. but here we go. It says, talking about a conversation that happened last week. And I write, I loved our peregrination of the universal light with jelly beans in our shoes and magic in the air. I've always said we need to rebuild this strong narrative of me. And then I quote, "Who are you?" said the caterpillar. This was not an encouraging opening for a conversation, Alice replied. Rather shyly, I hardly know, sir. Just at present, at least, I know who I was when I got up this morning. But I think I must have been changed several times since then.
Oh, I love that.
So it is now time. That was obviously, of course, Lewis Carroll that I just quoted. But now back to my writing. And it was, so now it's time. Let's become the global leader of joy. Build the strongest foundation. The storyteller of joy and the bringer of hope. Then the platform is impenetrable from negative forces and opens the marketplace of possibilities. And then to the Super Bowl.
Love it.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, possibilities.
We can definitely use all my experiences from experiments from experiences and experiences from experiments to be a tall tree that carries the strongest wind. I like that. Don't you?
Very poetic.
Who are you?
Who are you? Who are you? Could the real Sarah Ferguson
please stand up? There we have it then. The first series of Tea Talks with the Duchess and Sarah complete.
Now we're going to go and have our wrap party.
Oh, hello. Are we having chicken wraps?
Yeah, well.
Oh, okay.
It's a wrap party.
It's a wrap.
Yeah.
Chicken wrap. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Thank you for joining us on this latest adventure of ours. We've loved hearing your thoughts and comments throughout. We love to hear your feedback, so please do let us know that you've enjoyed this series by leaving us a review and a rating.
You can also directly get in contact with us, which you can do by messaging me on Instagram at SarahFerguson15.
Or me, SarahJaneThompson_.
We want to say thank you, listeners, for being so wonderful.
And it's a wrap.
And it's a wrap. Chicken wrap.
Chicken wrap.